Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is our gospel reading from John chapter 9. You may be seated. Have you ever used a pair of binoculars? Probably, right? Or a microscope? Or maybe a magnifying glass? Some of us who have trouble with our eyes these days need that to even be able to see. I talked to a pastor the other day who said that he started out writing his sermons on a single sheet of paper, 10-point type, could get it all on one side and then flip it over and on the other side. I have all of my grandfather's sermons that he wrote when he was a pastor, and they are written on half sheets of paper. 5.5 by 8.5, one side handwritten. And for that, I need a microscope, right? And those things are good for something, right? Maybe you're examining something really closely and you have to figure it out. You might need those sorts of tools. Maybe you're watching a football game from the stands, and the tickets that you got weren't all that great, so you're way up in the top level, and you want to see the details that you can't see with the naked eye. Or perhaps you're bird watching from your window, and those binoculars allow you to see the beautiful moment that that mama bird is feeding all of her young. All of these up-close and personal moments can give us a great perspective on unique interactions. That said, if you spend your entire life looking through binoculars to observe moments within the day, you're going to miss out on the entirety of the rest of the life that's going on around you. You're going to miss out on a whole lot of moments that actually matter. The moment that you focus singularly on that one small snapshot, you're also going to then miss the big picture. And in a sense, we do this every day when we spend our time fixated on maybe one particular news channel, or we spend hours on end on social media. Those are amazing tools for disseminating information and for connecting people across time and across distance. But those are, in essence, snapshot moments. They give us a little picture, but it's just one singular view that we get in little 10-second snippets. And if you spend all of your time viewing groups of singular, unique moments, you are certainly going to miss the big picture in life. And what you're going to get is a very different version of the truth than if you would see the whole picture. But the difference with God is that He wants us to keep that singular focus on Him. And if we're able to do that, if we are able to keep our singular focus on Him, we're not going to miss out on anything. Because when He does that, when we do that, what He does for us is that He opens our eyes to everything that Jesus does for us. And our text from John chapter 9 this morning helps us to understand that. Our text is this healing of the man who had been born blind. And the focus of this text at first glance seems to be the healing of that particular man. The fact that his eyes are now working. And that is an important part of the message, but to fully understand God's work through Jesus, we also need to see this as an eye-opening event for us. In the words of that man who has been healed, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind." Jesus was doing things that had never been done by anyone before. And He was doing those things because they could not have been done by anyone before. And Jesus continues to do things today that could not be done by anyone else. And more than that physical healing that this man receives, he also has his eyes open spiritually. And that's the even greater blessing. And the good news is that Jesus does this healing for you also. Both that physical healing and also the spiritual sight that he gives. This account begins with Jesus and his disciples passing by this man who has been born blind. And that raises this question in the disciples' minds. Then they ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" In their minds, if something really bad was happening to a person, it had to be somebody's fault. It had to be someone's sin, and therefore God was punishing that person with this ailment. It's like the people who told Jesus about those Galileans who had been slaughtered in the temple. They thought it was because those people were worse sinners that this bad thing was happening to them. It's like Job's friends who thought Job had some unrepented sin that he wasn't dealing with, and that was why he was suffering so badly. But that wasn't the case in those instances, and it isn't the case here with this man who was born blind. So Jesus answered him, "It was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus came to do the work of God in the world, and this man's blindness gave him the opportunity to do just that. Jesus came to bring healing, and he came to bring wholeness to fallen mankind as the light of the world, who brings light into a place where there was only darkness before. Darkened eyes, darkened minds. Jesus will enlighten both of them. So Jesus heals this man. And notice how he does it. He makes some mud with his saliva, rubs it in his hands, and then puts it on this man's eyes, and then he sends him off with a word. He says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which that man does, and then he comes back seeing. Isn't that how our Lord works? He attaches his word of promise to a visible, tangible means, and then he works through that, a wonderful, creative work in our lives. It's like holy baptism. Jesus attaches his word to the water, and in that word and water, our sins are washed away. And through it, we then receive spiritual sight, with also the promise of physical healing to follow when Christ returns. This physical healing of this man who was born blind, it isn't even the end of the interaction that he has with Jesus. Because that would have been enough, wouldn't it have? At least in that man's eyes, he could now see. But for Jesus, that's not enough. But before this man sees the Lord again, he's called in to see the Pharisees. And after telling those disbelieving Pharisees how his sight had been restored in such a strange way, and that he believes that Jesus is the prophet, they throw him out. They've thrown him out. And this is where Jesus seeks him out and goes to find him. And he does find him, because he has another healing in store for this blind man. He's going to open up his eyes now spiritually. So Jesus finds him and he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The Son of Man, which is another way to say the Messiah or the Christ or the great deliverer that's been promised for centuries. The one who would bring in an age of blessing and the kingdom of God into the world. And who is he that I may believe in him? The man answers. And then Jesus says to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And then that blind man responds, Lord, I believe. And then the proper response when faith is worked in the heart of a believer is to worship him. And that's what the text tells us this man did. He worships him. Now the Lord had worked the even greater healing. Even greater than opening up that man's eyes so that he could see what was around him, to see the things that he had never seen before in his life. Now he sees the things that no one has ever seen before, the things that only the eyes of faith can see. He's opened this man's eyes spiritually to realize that Jesus is the Christ, the God-sent Redeemer. And that's the enlightenment that all of us need. For in Christ, in this man Jesus, the Son of God comes down from heaven. And in him is all of our salvation. In him is all of our hope for eternal healing. Jesus has opened your eyes, hasn't he? He's given you this spiritual eyesight. He's given you faith to see that he, Jesus, is your Savior. Christ has washed away your sins by his holy blood shed on the cross, and he has delivered you into and through the waters of holy baptism. And then the Holy Spirit has enlightened your minds to see the truth, to believe in Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. And that's not something that he could have said unless he was the one who can bring life and light to all of his creation. In the light of Christ, now you can see things as they really are. And it's unlike holding up those binoculars and only being able to see a small slice of the whole. Focusing on Jesus allows our eyes to be opened in ways that the whole truth is revealed to us. And in that revelation, we can see the true meaning and purpose of life is found only in our relationship with God, through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Jesus works the work of God for you and for all sinners who trust in him. He saves you from your sins. He gives you that gift of faith. He opens your eyes spiritually now with the sure promise of full physical healing in the age to come. Christ has redeemed your soul. But along with that, he has redeemed your body as well. And the sacraments attest to that. When we recognize that what we receive from God is his word attached to that physical element, he works in our bodies as well, washing us clean in the waters of holy baptism, filling us up with his body and blood that now sits on the altar. He has redeemed our body here in this life and will do even more so in the next. And he does it with his own life-giving precious body and blood. And you will, in the end, share in Christ's resurrection. Bad eyesight? I can certainly relate to that. Loss of hearing? My wife says that I have a little bit of that as well. Weak knees and achy joints? I know we all have those. But all of them will be repaired and restored better than ever on that day of resurrection. And we will live with Christ and with all his saints in glorified bodies in that restored creation in perfect fellowship forever. This week was the first time that in my ministry that I've had two funerals in the same week. and the opportunity to be there with family and with friends who were mourning and provide that comfort is a wonderful thing to be able to do. And it's also a reminder that we do have hope in this resurrection, the resurrection that we only have through our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection that will be ours because Christ himself was raised from the dead. All of that is the gift that this blind man received when Jesus opened his eyes spiritually. Because now he can see. He can really see. But there are some who still refuse to see. They have blinded themselves to the truth. The Pharisees, for example, Jesus says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of those Pharisees hear this and they say, "Are we also blind?" Those Pharisees who claim to have it all together, their pride was blinding them. They didn't think that they needed a Savior. They didn't think that they had anything at all to repent of. Don't be like those Pharisees. Recognize that you too are very much in need of a Savior. Recognize that you too, every single day, every moment of the day, have something to repent of. And when you do that, you will recognize your full and total need of the Savior who is Jesus Christ. Don't, like those Pharisees, remain blind spiritually. Because what that leads to is antagonism. And the antagonism of those Pharisees against Jesus would only mount. All of this was headed toward a showdown. And that's what we're going to see when we get to Holy Week. But for now, the takeaway from today's account is that Jesus opens our eyes to everything that he has done for us. He opens our eyes from the blindness of sin, and he will heal us of all of our physical ailments and even death itself in the age to come. And he uses means to accomplish his purpose in our lives. He uses the means of grace. He uses word and sacrament. And there is always going to be opposition to Christ in this world. We see it every single day. And just as Jesus has opened your eyes to see who he is, he will also open your mouth too, to speak up, to speak out, and to confess Christ before men, regardless of the consequences. So praise God that Jesus has opened our eyes. Praise God that he has shown us where to look. As our gradual today said, "O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." May that God, shown to us in Jesus Christ, that we can now see because our eyes have been opened in faith, may he be the one that we fix our eyes on forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.